Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Lunar Seed, and it is the second day of the Blue Night Wave Spell, and it is a portal day. And I know this because I am on the last stage of completing a quilt that I made that is the Zolk'in, and so it has 260 squares. It's really only big enough for like one person to sleep under, so maybe that's a metaphor. Maybe it's like a prayer blanket, but it's a quilt. And the way I did the quilting, which is the sewing that kind of holds the batting together, and it's like a stitching pattern, is to etch the glyphs into each of the portal days. So there are 52 portal days that we see when we look at the Zolk'in. They're darkened and they look a bit like the DNA double helix. We see the 10 portal days in a row descending in the red serpent wave spell and the yellow seed wave spell. And then the reflective, you know, more single, there are a couple in a row when we hit white dog and blue monkey. But anyway, just did them. There's 52 portals and I've sewn 50. And I'm a real amateur. I'm going to put pictures up. But, I mean, it looks like an 8-year-old did this. And that's fine. It means I'm healing my inner 8-year-old. I'm all for that. That was a hard year. But it is really amazing to be so intimately connected to the portal days, since the 52 portal days is what I've been stitching for a week. And also so powerful to be looking at the glyphs and, you know, the design of the glyphs, what they represent, what they present so carefully again. Because I don't necessarily forget in general terms, but to really be stitching each part of, like, the red earth is a pretty intricate glyph. It has a lot to be learned. Like, you can deconstruct some of these tribes by looking at their glyphs really carefully because they're more intricate and less obvious than others. Like, a really obvious glyph is going to be white dog. And, you know, it's a really obvious wave spell, too, so that's clear. Yellow sun is pretty obvious. Red moon, I think, is pretty obvious. Red dragon. And then blue eagle is really obvious. But then there are ones that are complicated even to behold. Like, yellow warrior is clearly a shield, but it has this kind of crook or question mark, they call it. Jose Arguelles called it that, the cosmic question mark of the yellow warrior tribe or glyph. And then red earth has the same kind of curious crook or question mark design in it. And so, like, trying to decipher, what does that mean? Well, I did decipher what it meant back in the day. I think it's part of what I wrote about in my book, but, you know, looking at them all again and having that infusion of perception is really nice. Like, there are ways that we can truck along and follow the calendar daily and listen to the podcast and get a, you know, another angle from the Lisa Starr perspective. But then for me, I sometimes go through these like flurries where I'm writing a bunch about the calendar cycles, or I created a website. I revived my website in the last year, and so I was really deep into every part of how I present the calendar publicly. And sometimes I'll do a whole bunch of readings because people are in a phase of great interest in that kind of self-reflection. And then I'll make a quilt. Or I can show another time that I originally made, well, I've made a deck of altar cards. And then previous to that, I've made, you know, art depictions of all the tribes. And I have something called shrink art or shrinky dinks, which is an old children's toy where you draw on sheets of plastic, thin sheets of plastic, and then put it in the oven, and it changes in size. It becomes miniaturized, and then the color is compressed to such a point that it's denser. And I made 20 pieces of shrink art, or they call shrinky dinks, of the tribes, and I'll share that online, I think, soon. It's just like you can take on these projects or sort of extracurricular approaches that are deep in some way and get so much spiritual traction. I'm not sitting in like a place of sort of voluminous spiritual prowess right now. But I mean, I've dedicated myself to the Zolk'in on this project. It shows. Time is art. That was what Jose Arguelles said. Instead of time is money, time is art if you follow natural time. And so I do try very hard to make art an active part of my life. I'm not a fine artist. I'm a folk artist. So I'm not asking anyone who wants to reflect that or already does reflect that by being creative in your life is all we're asking here. We're just asking for life to be a creative process, much like, you know, someone who calls themselves an artist approaches their work, that you are expressing something through your hands, through your eyes. You know, your eyes indicate something that your hands follow through on, that is coming from a much larger place than your mind, that it's a form of channeling. And when we take on the calendar cycles, we are clearing out our chakras, our crown chakra, our connection to that sort of heavenly etheric realm. We're downloading all this information that has a way of empowering and purifying our mind. And then it's really encouraged that there be some productivity, you know, that looks like your little version of painting hieroglyphs on the Mayan temples, you know, just translating it. So I don't know, I was started by saying that today's a portal day, and that I know that because I've put it on my quilt. I know yellow lunar seed is a portal day. I have a relative as a yellow lunar seed. I can't always keep track of the portal days that are not in the 2 10-day portal runs and that are not really obvious. Like there's some obvious ones like red magnetic dragon is the first portal and yellow cosmic sun is the last. And then there's red resonant dragon and yellow resonant sun, and those are both portal days. Those are the four corners of the Zolk'in. And then I know, well, I reminded myself that white magnetic wind is a portal and blue galactic night is a portal and white solar wind is a portal, and I know my dad's a portal. He's a red crystal earth. And I know I'm a portal. I'm a blue overtone storm. And then I remember the boyfriend that was white planetary mirror and the other boyfriend that was white rhythmic mirror, and those are both portals. And then my old roommate was blue cosmic storm. And so like I have a bunch of them, but I always get a little disoriented when we're dealing with, there are 4 Skywalker portals, 4 yellow warrior portals, 4 yellow star portals, 4 blue monkey portals, and 4 white dog portals. So again, the way it starts is at yellow star. Actually, I didn't mention one. So if yellow star, there are 4 portals. And then red moon, after that, there are 4 portals. White dog,
there are four portals. Blue Monkey, four portals. Yellow Human, four portals. Red Skywalker, four portals. Those are all, like, they're not in a row, obviously, but those tribes in the center of the Zulkin from Yellow Star until, Red Skywalker, that's six. Six tribes all have four portals. The rest have two. So I know this because I just had to make four Blue Monkey portals. It's just a complicated glyph using a sewing machine. So that's interesting. But you kind of have to memorize, like, what are these outlying portals? So I'm going to stop talking about that. So we're in a new wave spell. And we're in a new moon since I last put anything on air. And, you know, get acclimated. Also, I'm covering here the last night of the 3-day full moon to the naked eye. It certainly seems 3 days long. And I'm not out of it, but everything's a different tonality, right? Literally, because we call them tones. It's a different tonality. We're in the resonant tonality now. The resonant moon is a pretty beautiful one. It's the 7th of 13. It's the middle of our year, truly. This moon, this 28-day section, is the defined middle of our year. And when we get to day 14, it'll be, you know, the exact midpoint of the natural time or 13 moon year. So that's coming right up. And the resonant moon is very spacious. It kind of imitates being in our chakra column or the channel that, you know, runs through the center of our body that is connects heaven to earth through our vertical stance as humans. And this time is for spaciousness, openness, channeling, attunement, being psychic. That's what, like, I always think, because I am a clairvoyant, that, you know, the kind of pedestrian word or slang for that is being a psychic. So I like to say I'm a clairvoyant because I'm not a psychic in the sense I don't have a neon sign, but, you know, it's the same thing. So in the resonant moon, it's also like the moon of being psychic. If we kind of made the neon sign version of the resonant tone, just be like, yeah, you can pick up on stuff. You can trust your intuition. You're going to rely on your intuition. We're developing our intuition in this moon the same way we developed our capacity to be organized and, you know, not just rhythmic, but to create a rhythm that sustains us. We worked on that last moon, and now we're working on our psychic ability so that now that everything's humming and sort of in an ordered way that we can push towards an ascent in our 13 moon wave form. We're trucking. It's kind of like when you're driving along and you suddenly don't have to pay attention to traffic. Like a road trip suddenly becomes a meditative experience. Where you're just like, it's altered because you're moving, but you're not, you know, finally tuning the engine as you roll along. It's all handled, and you get to feel in all that movement or gliding motion of moving in a car over a long stretch of road. You get to trip out, different kind of trip. So I think that's what the resonant moon indicates and invites. We got everything empowered. We got everything organized. We figured out in the self-existing moon what form of service. We got form-oriented. We found out about service before that. We have already identified our challenge for the year. We're really acclimated to what's challenging. Or if we've forgotten, it's still challenging. Maybe we've forgotten that we identified the challenges. We keep living in the lunar moon. And I'm going to digress because I think that's an important thing. Since I'm just saying that in the midst of this other topic, let me make sure you don't miss this opportunity to track again what the hell is your challenge for this year. Because I remember attracting something so forcefully in the magnetic moon that it was present every day. And then the first day of the lunar moon, it disappeared. It vanished. And it kind of blew my mind because it was so punctual. And then it came back in the electric moon in kind of a different way. And then, you know, it's been back pretty recently. So what I would say from this is that there's still all this disappearance. You know, if it's a relationship connection, you could say, like, there was all this connection and then the person disappeared. But then they kind of reappeared, but just less connected. And that then the challenge, I hope this metaphor is working, because a lot of us go through relationship absences and reappearances, and things don't seem linear, they seem circular or karmic or confusing. But like, someone can be there and then disappear, and the challenge is their disappearance. There's a reason they disappeared that we find challenging. In that action, we're challenged. We have to grow. But by now in the year, if that ends up being the kind of challenge you're dealing with, you're acclimated to this disappearance. It's probably, you know, not perpetual. Somebody reappears and disappears, but now the disappearance is not as much of a shock or an innovation. It's become part of the rhythm. Like, oh, they're there and then they disappear. And that's how we overcome challenge in a 13 moon year or a 13 day wave spell, is that we see the challenge. It feels like a hardship or a hurt, but as we work through the wave spell, either our mind wanders to other things that are put in front of us, how we're going to be of service, or we're empowered by the natural evolution of the overtone, fifth tone. We get ourselves in rhythm so that we're, rolling along no matter what challenge arises. And then here in the resonant moon, we're going to do a lot of like psychic clearing so that our channel is not just for doubt or fear, but our channel is for inspiration and divinity. And that takes away how challenges or hardship affects us. So the same thing that was very troubling for us in the lunar tone, i.e. the lunar moon of this year, you know, it's dissolving. It's being replaced by other focuses, or we are growing large enough in this wave form, because that's the action of a wave, is rising to the sky. So we're like rolling right past something that used to be blockage for us. So by now in the resonant moon, the middle of the year, that's how I just wanted to take that time to show you, like, yeah, remember you had this crazy challenge in the lunar moon, and see how it's still dogging us, or in our view we can see it, but I don't think it has all the, like, the venom or the it isn't not as obstructive, but it's still on our minds. It's on my mind. I'm really, like, not efficient with my word count tonight. Plus, I just revealed this tonight because I want everyone to know I'm podcasting from under the moon, which is kind of an exhausting feature of the night sky. And let me get on with it here. I don't have a lot of time to be more specific. So the resonant moon is the middle of the year, and I think you get that we're going to be working on this idea of being pretty intuitive and resonant, the word resonant, the whole time. And then it's a double psychic intuitive moment, because the blue night wave spell is also about intuition. I would say of all the tribes, it's the one that invites us to be psychic with a neon sign more than any other. Maybe Red Skywalker is comparable, and White Wizard has definitely that same kind of enchantment, and in fact White Wind also, but Blue Knight has got the word intuition attached to it, and intuition, to me, is another way of talking about bringing in divine thoughts and perception to our minds, you know, our human minds that are function on all these different levels. It's to deepen or open our mind to something bigger than what we usually logically concoct, and it is a time of dreaming. So I guess since I really love dreaming as sort of being literal about dreams, that the experience of dreaming at night for me is just an extension of daytime living, but I get to be less rational. But the things that happen in my dreams, the way I dream, tend to feel like either like, oh, we worked our karma out in the dreams, or I worked out some karma in the dreams, but it's entirely connected to what's happening in my daily life. Mostly. Other people dream differently, and this is your time to also explore how you dream, or to notice that you have bigger dreams, larger, longer dreams, more dominant dreams, because it's the time of dreaming. We're celebrating in Blue Night what happens when an animal, a human, goes into their shelter at the end of a productive, I would say more indigenous work day, and exhausted, lies down, rests the body, but the soul that's, you know, usually in an indigenous culture, pretty saddled by manual labor and survival. Soul gets to have a kind of freer, more cosmic, expansive departure from that daily grind to live large and fantastically. And so in the celebration of Blue Night, and when it plays out over 13 days, our daytime life could seem more dreamlike. Like, we are not in the grind. We are living expansively while we awake. That's a delight. And also our dream life can take over and be so memorable that our days are colored by what we recall or don't recall that we dreamed. And it's a celebration of the dream, and it's also a time of abundance, which is such a screwed up, misappropriated word by the New Age movement to describe spirituality as a place of longing yourself into monetary success. Like, I don't want to support that at all, but I want to say that there is a correlative between dreaming and feeling abundant, and it is this, I've said it before, that really all we need in terms of wealth or largesse, extreme comfort, is shelter, because as humans we are very vulnerable to prey and to the weather, the elements. And so it was a big deal for us, our species, to learn how to shelter ourselves. And what we need in terms of shelter is about the equivalent of a hut, so that we have a hard shell around us, since we don't have an exoskeleton. We have a hard shell around us so that we're protected, and we can then relax enough to have REM sleep, REM sleep, where our brain is not on high alert, you know, keeping us tense, dialed into every sound, every threat. Instead, we relax enough in our bodies because we're safe in our shelter to have this more cosmic and expansive way of sleeping or dreaming and our mind traveling. So that's abundance. Abundance is a home. Abundance is shelter. And I don't know why, but in the time of Blue Night, we can also have a lot of monetary reward. And, you know, it's just another part of the cultural or cosmic experience of a human life. You know, we're celebrating in the 20 tribes, 20 aspects that would form the totality, the circle of life. And so we want to have a release valve as well for monetary or, let's say, like, you know, material abundance. It doesn't have to be money, but, you know, just the sense of like, yeah, I'm lavishly provided for materially, that there is something connected to Blue Night about that. And so in this time you can see like, whoa, what pictures or visions of abundance do I see? You know, how's that being delivered? The last thing I'll say is, because we're, you know, I'm speaking on Blue Magnetic Night, the first day of this wave spell. So I attracted abundance today, right? I would attract abundance in some form to begin the wave spell. abundance being one of the words for blue night, I attracted dreaming and intuition and abundance. My abundance was not material objects. My abundance was of energy. Like, my body was really healthy. Body shelters my soul. I saw my body being really strong. And I also saw, like, one of my big dreams, desires, kind of like moved intuitively through my, you know, wavelength perception. Suddenly I'm like, whoa, that's abundance to me. That project that I want to succeed at or take on or, you know, have a manifestation, that's coming up. That would be abundance to me. You know, it's not a paycheck. It's not more things to buy. It's a quality of life that I've been seeking, and that it just sort of like flashed, like maybe it's time, or that this wave spell is defining for me, helping me understand what abundance really means, which I think, you know, if it's not abundance means I get to have a new car, abundance is a sense of security and a sense of the soul being able to live really largely because the body is relaxed. So each one of us will have something that appears in this time that answers that question of like, what gives me security and helps my soul feel relaxed, or helps my body relax so that my soul, you know, can live really largely within it, really expansively, have freedom. Boy, I will probably have lots more to say about both the resonant moon and the blue night wave spell. There'll be plenty of podcasts in the same stretch of this time. This was my first stab at each, and I think it's time to do a few day forecast, ground things a little bit, focus on intuition, delivering here some kind of augury for, so yellow lunar seed, if you want to go backwards to blue magnetic night, it's a magnetic day in a magnetic year, so you could get another hit if you think back to your Saturday of like, what are you attracting that references this white magnetic wizard year? But then yellow lunar seed, we're going to identify the challenge within the blue night wave spell today. And yellow seed is complicated to talk about in a short amount of time, but it's a day of flowering. It's a day of being connected to plant life. It's a day of being connected to the earth, such as a plant is. It's a day of being connected to the light, the sun, the warmth, such as a plant is. We imitate plants on this day. Sexuality, especially towards procreation, is ruled by this day, or vice versa. This day rules procreative sexuality. It rules time in the garden. It rules appreciation of plant life, whether it's flowers or trees or vegetables, fruits. And then let's keep going. It's exciting. That's all new information for me about yellow seed. Red serpent tomorrow. Red electric serpent. How can I best be of service in the blue night wave spell of intuition, dreaming, and abundance? I can survive. My service is to survive and to be really closely connected to the earth. That's what red serpent is. Because there are negative things to say about red serpent, that it's the base of our brain. It's the low brain. It's the survivalistic mechanism. It is not higher thought. But Red Serpent's advantage for all of us is that litheness, sensuality, sexuality that comes from not being up in our heads, but being down in our lower chakras, you know, feeling embodied rather than enlightened. So then, what day is that? That's Monday. And then Tuesday will be white self-existing world bridger, which is, I mean, it's really great that we have the blue night wave spell reminding us that we're in a dreamy time, because I think it's hard to hit logic. Like, what? My form of service in the blue night wave spell is to embrace death. You know, like if we're going to do this diagnostic approach as I am endeavoring in the last moments here. It sort of blows away part. It's not logical. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, your form of service after you've survived in Red Serpent is to die. Like, it feels a little bit like my presentation of this today is very much like dreams that are disjointed and suddenly you jump time or spatially and it doesn't make sense, but yet it is all the journey. So I'm just letting you know that our run of days is Yellow Seed, Red Serpent, White World Bridger, and then finally Blue Hand, Blue Overtone Hand. I'll be speaking from that day. And just stay in the quality of dreaming and the inquiry of your psychic ability, how it's expanding right now, rather than getting super into the minutiae of the days as they pass. We're in the night now. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.